Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hey, good morning, Every Nation New Jersey. God bless you and happy Easter. Man, I am so excited that you would spend Easter Sunday here with us at Every Nation New Jersey. And listen, so quick question before we roll in to the scriptures this morning, and that is this. Are you a connoisseur of Easter candies? My wife is a bit of a connoisseur, and so like she told me this the other day, and I don't know if it's true or not, but she was saying that originally, like, jelly beans, the colors were kind of, they had meaning for, like, if it was blue, it was for baptism, and red was for the blood and all that. I don't know if that's true, but kind of cool, all right? And as well, she loves these things called Peeps. Have you heard of these things? Like, what are these things, man? I'm not a big Peep guy, all right? If you are, hey, I'm not judging you. But one Easter candy I do want to show you here this morning is this. I'm not sure if you've ever seen these, one of these Cadbury eggs. And for the record, 26.5 grams of sugar in one of these, all right? More calories than a slice of pizza. I would rather have the pizza, okay? And so I'm really not crazy about these. But I am crazy about the way they make me feel. See, let me explain. So it was March 10th, 1987, and through a mutual friend, this young lady, Susan Scott, and I were arranged to have a date to go to a high school hockey game and watch it together. And so if you don't know who Sue Scott was, I mean, she was only the hottest girl in all of Scholar Hall High School. And, like, some people are just talking this noise that Allison Mallory was hotter, or Michelle Cutsey, and we're not having any of that trash. Like, Susan was the hottest girl, and I got to meet her on this arranged date. And I can remember just being so nervous, man, when I was working the mullet and then putting on my Dracar Noir. You know, do you guys remember that one? And so going to this hockey game, and I can remember she was sitting up in the stands, and as I went up in the stands to meet with her, she did something I wasn't expecting. She actually gave me a Cadbury egg. And so I just remember that night, and it went astonishingly well. Like, we talked, we didn't watch much of the hockey game, and we just seemed to talk the whole night. And in fact, in between periods, we got kind of bored of the game. And so I asked her if she wanted to go to the mall, because that's what you do when you're in high school. And so we went to the mall, and I can recall driving her home that night. And I drove her home and walked her to the door, and I asked her this question: can I give you a kiss goodnight? To which she replied yes. And so I did what Hitch told us to do. I leaned in 90% of the way and waited for her to come the other 10. We kissed goodnight, and I left. And Susan would tell me years later, she would say, "I knew that night that you and I were going to be married." For the record, I wish she would have told me, because I was still nervous around her, okay? But so listen, Cadbury eggs, I don't like the way they taste, but I love the way they make me feel. And I say all that to say this, is I want you to feel something this morning. And my big prayer has been this, man, that I pray you feel complete. I pray that you feel loved. And I pray that you feel free. And so today, the name of our message here this morning is just this, three nails, three nails. And the story behind it, like, when you think of three nails, I want you to feel something. And it was interesting. We were visiting my daughter down in North Carolina. It's a kind of little podunk town. And they had this one hardware store there. It was actually called Three Nails. And I can remember going to this hardware store, and, you know, it's one of those ones where people are so just sickeningly nice, you know, and so they're just so nice and friendly. They just want to talk, and I'm like, I just want to get my nails and get out of here, okay? And so, but I remember leaving the hardware store, and telling Susan, I'm like, man, the people are so friendly in that hardware store. And she says to me, you know, they're Christians. And I'm like, how do you know that? And she says, the name of the hardware store is what? Three Nails. And I was like, so? And she says, hey, dum-dum, pastor, don't you know that Jesus hung on the cross by three nails? And that's kind of our story today. is that we're going to be in the book of Colossians, and Paul's going to say this, that because of those three nails and the cross of Jesus Christ, that you and I, we can triumph over our enemies. Like, the cross is a triumph. For those of you that aren't familiar with a triumph, Paul is referring to this Roman exercise that when a general would drive back Rome's enemies and capture them and win a victory, they would have a victory parade throughout Rome. It was called a triumph, and the defeated foes would be stripped down naked, and they would be mocked by the Romans, and then all the spoils of the victory would be on display, and then lastly would be the victorious general, and the people would be shouting his name. And you know, that's our story, that man, the cross of Christ, it's a triumph, it's a victory, that we need to triumph in the cross of Christ over our enemies. In fact, maybe it'll help this way. I can remember in my minor league hockey days that I played for the North Bay Centennials, and we just barely made the playoffs, and we were playing the number one team in all of Canada. It was the Kitchener Rangers, and so our head coach called us all into the dressing room, and we were going to have a brainstorming session how we could defeat the number one team, the Kitchener Rangers, and so we were like, we're going to outscore them, coach, and coach would just very non just matter of fact, you can't outscore them. They're better than you. Then we'll beat them up, coach. We're going to beat them up. And he's like, you can't beat them up because they're tougher than you. And I'm like, you know, Debbie Downer, thanks, coach. You know, he says, but there's one thing you can do. He says, you can be disciplined and absorb every hit, all the punishment, and then you beat them on the power play. And that's what happened. We wound up beating them 4-1, and it was a massive upset because we learned we could absorb the blows, and then we would strike on the power play in a very real way. Man, as our enemies and God's, Satan and the demonic realm, as they were nailing Jesus to the cross, with every nail that was driven home, you know what was happening? That we were being reconciled back to God, that our sins were being forgiven. Man, and God was setting us free. Can you imagine the shudder? Oh no, what have we done by putting Christ on the cross? Man, he set us free. And so I want you to triumph in the cross of Christ, that we're going to triumph, that these three nails, let them be a reminder of our triumph in Jesus. And so we'll be in Colossians chapter 2, verses 8 to 15, and I'll read. It says this, Paul says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. We'll talk about that. He says, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him, who is the head of all principality and power. In him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And so, if you could, like, so nail number one this morning is this, is I pray that you would feel complete. You would feel complete. We read this in Colossians 2:10 that we read, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. And so maybe you can go back with me a number of years ago, the movie Jerry Maguire. And if you can remember, Jerry Maguire is estranged from his wife, Renee Zellweger. And so he's about to get back together. He feels incomplete. Remember, he enters into the living room, and it's filled with a group of disgruntled women. And he's like, oh, no. And then from across the room, he sees his estranged wife. And he's like, okay, if we have to do it here, we'll do it here. And he says this, how about this? I'm not letting you get rid of me. How about that? He says, tonight, our company, our little experiment had a big night, a very, very big night. But it wasn't complete. It wasn't nearly complete because you weren't there. I miss my wife. You complete me. Right? And you remember her response? Shut up. You had me at hello. but I say that to say this, that idea, you complete me. You know, they ripped that off from the Bible, right? In your Old Testament, the book of Hosea. In Hosea, God asked Hosea to marry a prostitute. And here's the big idea, is Hosea loves and cares for, her name is Gomer. But what does she do? She sleeps around with other men, breaking Hosea's heart. Until eventually she would go off into the wilderness. And God says this to Gomer. He says, I'll let you go and suffer in the wilderness. He says, there you'll learn to stop calling me master and start calling me husband. See, the name Gomer, it means this, complete. That God, you complete me. And that's the big idea. Do you know Solomon, he felt this the God hole that's in all of humanity. He would say it in Ecclesiastes 3:11. He says that God has put eternity inside the heart of man. In other words, that you and I were designed for union with God, that God, he completes us. But through sin, it leaves this God-sized hole. In humanity, we feel the hollowness of our heart, and we try to jam it with all these temporary things, but the temporary can't fill or satisfy the void of eternity. We need the eternal one to fill us. And listen, maybe this will resonate with some of you, but it seems like we always just believe the lie that maybe money or sex will fill the void of eternity in our hearts. And it just can't do it because it's temporary. We get King Solomon. You know, he was the wealthiest man that ever lived. In fact, economists would say this, that today it would be estimated he'd be worth $2.3 trillion with a T, dollars. For a little context, do you know that Elon Musk is worth $219 billion, that Jeff Bezos, he's worth $171 billion, right? And so Solomon, the wealthiest man, but do you know at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, after he has anything that money can buy, he says this, vanity of vanities. It's the word hevel in Hebrew. It means smoke. In other words, it's there for a second and then vanishes. You get this temporary satisfaction and then it just vanishes away. Or how about even sex? Our boy Solomon, you know, he had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Like he made Hugh Hefner look like a rookie, man. And so he could have any kind of sexual experience that a man could imagine. And yet still at the end of the book of Ecclesiastes, he says, vanity of vanities. It's all hevel. What he came to the conclusion that nothing can fill the void of eternity except for an eternal one, God Almighty. And we read it in our text in Colossians, right? It said, Paul says, don't believe the lie of the world. It's empty or hollow conceit. And you don't have to take my word for it or Paul's word for it. Why don't you take the prophets of this world? You can take their word for it. And so let me read a few of it for you. Let me read for you the prophet Brad Pitt. Okay, Brad Pitt says this in a Rolling Stones interview. Pitt says this. He says, man, I know all these things are supposed to seem important to us. The car, the condo, our version of success. But if that's the case, why is the general feeling out there reflecting more impotence and isolation and desperation and loneliness? He says, if you ask me, I say toss all of this. We got to find something else, because all I know is that at this point in time, we are heading for a dead end, a numbing of the soul, a complete atrophy of the spiritual being. And I don't want that. Let me read another prophet, Jim Carrey, who was God for a day, right? And if Bruce Almighty, Jim Carrey says this, I think everybody should get rich and famous and do everything they ever dreamed of so they can see that it's not the answer. Let me read for you. Tom Terrific, the GOAT, Tom Brady. There's a guy who was married to a supermodel wife, won 7 Super Bowls. That's more than any team has ever won, right? And so get this. He says this. He says, surely there must be more than all of this. right? And then here's another one. Aaron Rodgers, soon to be Aaron Rodgers of the New York Jets, right? That Aaron says this after winning the Super Bowl MVP and the Super Bowl. He says this, I hope this isn't all I do. And if that wasn't enough, we'll just let you, the words of Bono. He says, I still haven't found what I'm looking for. He says it cooler, I still haven't found, right? But anyways, we can see that nothing in this world, the temporary, can fill eternity in our hearts. And so St. Augustine, he says this, that our hearts are restless until they find their rest in him. And so these three nails, I pray that they remind you that at the cross of Christ, God was actually reconciling back to reconciling us back to himself, that we would become one with God, once again, filling the void of eternity. And at salvation, man, the relationship with God is initiated. And then at the end of time, God's going to consummate it, and all things will be made whole and be made new. If you've seen the movie As Good As It Gets, you'll remember Jack Nicholson, I believe he won an Oscar for it, and he plays the character Melvin Udall, novelist, and so he's this OCD character, and so as Melvin's going to his therapist, he enters the therapist's office, and the waiting room is crammed with patients, and you can tell they're all just kind of real fidgety and real, and then Jack Nicholson says this. He says, did you ever wonder, what if this is as good as it gets? And there was just horror on the faces of everybody. And you know, that's such a great observation, because if you don't know Jesus Christ, this really is as good as it gets. But man, if you believe on the name and the person of Jesus Christ, this is as bad as it will ever get. And so that's nail number one. I pray you'd feel complete in him. Nail number two is this. I pray that you would feel loved. I pray that you'd feel loved this morning. Colossians 2, verses 13 to 14 says this. And you, being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us. And he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross. And so Paul uses this idea, says we're guilty in our trespasses. That just simply means this. To trespass means that there's set boundaries, that God has set boundaries in our lives, in the world. Why? It's for human flourishing and for the glory of God. But to go outside of those boundaries is what? It's to trespass. It's to dishonor God and to harm ourselves and others. And so we're just guilty of trespassing. You and I both are. I'll take you back. Our original parents, Adam and Eve, they had one boundary. Don't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Couldn't do it. Trespass. That God gave us the 10 commandments, right? And I promise you, you've broken every one of those commands. How about this? Thou shalt not lie. Right? And if you said that, hey, you've never lied, that's at least your second lie, okay? But busted again, trespass. God is hardwired within us the ability to distinguish between right and wrong. It's called conscience. Con means with, science means knowledge. We're born with this inner knowledge of right and wrong. And what do? We continually and constantly trespass against our conscience. How about this, that we can't even keep our own boundaries. Isn't that true? Like, this just happened to me just last night, man. My wife put a stack of cookies at the end of the kitchen counter, and I told her, I am not going to have any of those cookies. Well, just give it about 30 minutes staring in front of me, and then had to destroy the whole sleeve of it, all right? Well, we're guilty of trespasses. It's just what is inside of us. And because we trespass, there is a penalty, and that penalty is death, and it must be paid for. If I can illustrate this way, you know, years ago we brought this SUV, this Acura MDX, right? This thing was a tank. In fact, though, I thought it was cursed because I got hit in that car 5 times. And so the fourth time I got hit and we got it all fixed, I was on a first name basis with the collision guy. So I got the car all cleaned up, looking good. I picked up a team of pastors in Manhattan, and one of the pastors opened up the back door into oncoming traffic. Cab hits the door, wraps the door around to the front of my car. And I don't know if you've ever been that person where you're just so aggravated that you can't even be polite. I was just like, man, get out of my car. Just get out of my car. And man, I bent the door back. And next day I went to the collision shop and I got an estimate. And the estimate was for $5,000. So fast forward 2 days later, you know, we have a pastoral meeting and I meet this pastor and he feels horrible. And he's like, bro, what can I do to make it right? Well, I'm like, well, you can give me $5,000. And he's like, I ain't got $5,000. Well, I guess there's nothing you can do for me. And that's our reality, that there's nothing we can do to pay the penalty for our sin. We need somebody else to pay for us. Like, can I give you like the reason? Like, a lot of times we have this false idea of scales, right? You know, I trespass, sure, you know, so, but if I just do some good works, and if the good outweighs the bad, right? There's two problems with that. Number one, that's nowhere to be found in the Bible. And number two, you have no good works to put on the scale. Do you know that God says in his word, the scriptures say, man, that our good works are like filthy rags before him. Uh-oh. See, that's what makes the cross of Christ so glorious, that Jesus was actually paying the debt for our sin on the cross. He nailed it to the cross. And John 3:16 says this, that God, he so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son. You know, back in 2007, in Manhattan, there's a man by the name of Wesley Autry, and he was standing awaiting for the one train. And as he was, one of the other guys waiting for the train, this young man had an epileptic seizure. He fell onto the train tracks, and then the oncoming one train was zooming in to the station. Wesley Autry, he had the presence of mind to jump down off the platform onto the tracks, and he covered over this man who was seizing from a seizure. He pressed him down, covered him over, and the train came racing in, missing the two of them by only inches. Like they backed the train out, and Autry was able to lift this young man back onto the platform. And you know, he was instantly declared a hero. And I want to declare to you this morning, man, that Jesus is our hero. That man, we've through sin, we've fallen on the tracks of death, hell, and the grave. But Jesus, at the cross of Christ, he covers over our sins and he lifts us back up to be reconciled to God. And so I pray that you feel loved this morning. And then nail number three would be this. I pray you feel free. I pray you feel free. Colossians 2 verse 11 says this, in him you were also circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I know you're thinking, awkward verse on Easter, Pastor, right? What's all this circumcision talk? But I think if we were honest, each of us are just painfully aware that there's some ugly parts on the inside of us, some ugly places. And listen, God doesn't want you to have to battle these ugly places of your heart, but he wants to circumcise, cut away these wicked areas of our heart. Like, I think if you'd be honest, that you would agree that, man, no one has harmed you more than you, that nobody has lied to you more than you. I'm not sure how many firstborns they are. I'm a firstborn, and I was a typical jerk big brother. You know, you grab your little brother's hands, and you're like, boom, boom, hitting himself. Why are you hitting yourself? Why are you hitting yourself? And as ridiculous as that is, you know, that's what we do, that we, through sin and this sin nature on the inside of us, we sin against ourselves at times, and we actually harm ourselves. Peter would say this in 1 Peter 2:25. He says, we are continually straying away like sheep away from the shepherd. And you know, when the sheep are away from the shepherd, it goes really, really bad. And if you don't believe me, just check out this video here.
Боже, отойди.
Нет.
Такого маленького, я
смогу. Потяни сейчас. Сам потяни. Вверх потяни. Ой, умничка, Риад, умничка. Ногу не сломай только ему. Умничка, умничка. За обе ноги. Молодец, Виата. Умничка. Умничка. Все, операция удалась. Дурак! Мы часто мучаемся над тобой.
Right? It's hilarious. And isn't it so true that when we get away from the shepherd, we just seem to get in this cycle of sin again and again and again. And I don't know about you, I want off of that cycle. And man, God, through the cross of Christ, He's come to circumcise our heart, to set us free. God, through the cross of Christ, Jesus, we've been justified. That's a legal term. And here's what it means, that God, He declares you holy. But then there's another term called sanctification. And that's the process by which God makes you holy. Like, isn't that the best news possible? That God doesn't just declare us holy, but still leave us with all this junk in our heart, that we're drawn to dark things and sinful things, but He wants to cut it away and make us free. And so through the cross of Christ, now God, He sends a helper, the Holy Spirit, to dwell inside of us. In fact, in the scriptures, it says that we've become the temple of the Holy Spirit. And so religion, it works from the outside trying to get in, but the gospel is very, very different. The gospel works on the inside out. And so, I've been with my wife, Susan, for 36 years. I've actually been, we've been together longer than we've been apart in our life. And so by spending so much time with her, I'm fascinated by how much I've changed. Like, get this, like, my appetites have changed. I don't know if you know that. Like I used to hate sweet potatoes, man. Love those sweet potatoes now. You know the ones where you put the marshmallows on, they're all gooey, gooey goodness? Hallelujah. And she's even got me eating these, like, salt and vinegar chips. I mean, I never thought I would do that. And so how about she's changed the things I like, my affections. Like, I actually like country music now. For years, man, I just disdained country music. And from being with this woman day after day, now guess what? I kind of like country music. And I'm embarrassed to say this one. Men, don't judge me. I even watch HGTV, all right? But what happens? See, the things that I like, the things that I've drawn to have changed. Why? Because I've spent so much time with this woman in a real way that the Holy Spirit now continually, 24/7, lives on the inside of you. And He's renewing your mind to the Word of God, that eventually you're going to begin to think God's thoughts. That it says this, that He's writing the law on our hearts. So then we love what Jesus loves and hates what He hates. That He's making all things new. And so I pray this morning, man, that you feel free. And so in summary, all that's purchased through the three nails at the cross of Jesus Christ is this, man, I pray you feel complete. I pray you feel loved. And I pray that you feel free, because those three nails, man, paid for all of it. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you, Lord, just for all that you've purchased for us at Calvary's cross. And Lord, I want to pray, Lord, for anyone this morning that doesn't know you. Lord, I pray this morning, God, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would draw them to yourself, God. And I pray, God, that right now, just that the Holy Spirit, because of the cross, would come in immediately, Lord, to those that don't know you. And God, come in, make their heart your temple and your home. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to change them from the inside out, and they're going to be with you forever in eternity. And so I pray that in Jesus' name. And if that's your prayer this morning, you just need to give out a simple amen. That means so be it. Man, and God hears that prayer. And listen, so every nation, God loves you and has a great plan for your life. And listen, our message is complete, but we're not quite finished. I want to remind you that you can remain faithful in your tithing and your giving. For those of you that are partnering with us at Every Nation New Jersey, can I just say thank you from the bottom of my heart? And we believe the tithe simply means a tenth of everything that comes in, we give back to God. And we trust that as we honor God, that He's going to honor and care for us. And so there's three ways you can give. You can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. You can give via text. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. That's how my family and I give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. Hey, in every nation, He is risen. He is risen indeed. Have a great week.
Listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.